Sour Mercy and Sweet Mercy. We're recording. The Sour Mercy, I'm going to tell you a story, and that story will explain Sour Mercy and Sweet Mercy to you. Remember, I don't know if you know this story or not, but Prophet Musa, he said to Allah, Ya Allah, is there anybody in this or in this on the face of the earth who knows more than me, who have no more knowledge than me? So Allah said, yes. Remember, Prophet Musa, he had the knowledge of the Torah, and he had the knowledge of talking to Allah. He had all these knowledge. So he said, is there anybody more knowledgeable than me on the face of the earth? Guess what was the answer?
Yes.
Yes. So Prophet Musa said, can I learn? Can you tell me where is he so that I can go and learn from him? So Allah said, fine. Yes. Go to the coastline. Take a fish with you. Take a dead fish with you. Go to the coastline. When this fish becomes alive and jumps into the water, in this place, you're going to meet that righteous slave. We call him righteous slave. Okay? Some people call him al-Khidr, but there's no proof that he's al-Khidr. Okay? So we call him just what Allah called him in the Quran, righteous slave. Okay. So Allah called him righteous slave. So what he said, so Prophet Musa took his servant, and then he followed the coastline. He started traveling in the coastline. And then he will stop every once in a while to rest and eat a meal. So the last stop was at a rock. One of the stops were at a rock. Rock, huge rock on the coastline. So they sat there, they rested, okay, and they ate, but they forgot to check on the fish. They used to check on the fish every time they stop. They find the fish is still dead with them, so they keep going. The fish is still dead, they keep going. So when they arrived to the rock, okay, they forgot to check on the fish, and then they kept going. Now, when they stopped, the first stop after the rock, they ate and rested, and they went to check on the fish. They found the fish what?
Gone.
So the fish has gone when they rested at the rock. So they went back to the rock. They knew that it's at the rock. So now they went back to the rock, and they found a slave, the righteous slave, who was sitting down. And then Prophet Musa said, can I follow you and learn from you? So he said, you will not be able to handle this kind of knowledge. It's beyond your ability to handle this kind of knowledge. You can't handle this kind of knowledge. It's just simply you can't. It's impossible. So he said, okay, try me. Give me a try. Just try me. I'm going to be just a good student. Just try me. So he said, fine, you can follow me. But one condition. If you ask me, why did I do that? Okay? Then you can't follow me anymore. You can't follow me anymore. Okay? He said, yes, I promise you, I will never ask you, why did you do this? So Prophet Musa and the righteous slave started traveling on the coastline. They wanted to cross the sea from one end to the other end. And they kept going and asking people who own boats. No doodle. And they kept asking people who have boats. Can you guys please give us a ride? They say, you got money? No. Get out of here. Next boat. Can you give us a ride to the other side? No. Get out of here. And they kept doing like that until they ran into a boat for very, very kind fishermen. Very kind and very nice. So they told them, "Can you please give us a ride to the other side?" They said, "Of course, you're welcome." They said, "We don't have money." He said, "Don't worry about it. You're welcome. Come, please." And they offered them even food and drink when they were in the boat. So they were very generous with them. Not only they gave them a ride, but they were very generous and very kind. When they arrived to the other side, guess what happened? The fishermen went to the market, okay? They went to market. And Musa and the righteous slave started traveling. And then, after a little bit, the righteous slave stopped and went back to the boat and pick an axe. You know the axe? And he started ruining the boat. Chalk, 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 chalk. He ruined the boat. The boat becomes not usable. Not usable. At all. So Prophet Musa was like stunned. Huh? He's like, "What's going on here?" So he said, told him, how could you ruin the ship? And then they can't use it anymore, otherwise it will drown with them. They will drown with the ship. How could you do that? So he said, didn't we agree that you're not going to ask why? You're not going to ask questions why. You said that. You agreed on that. He said, "Oops. Yeah, forgive me, please. Forgive me. I'm not going to do it again." So he said, "That's first strike." Okay. Then they went, and they went to a village, and there was a boy, little boy, playing around. So the righteous slave went to this boy, took it away from, you know, where so nobody can see, and then he killed him. He killed the boy. Yeah. See, Prophet Musa was just as stunned at you as you are. Okay, he said, "What? You killed the boy, innocent boy, for no crime or nothing wrong that this little boy did?" He told him, "Didn't we agree that no questions?" Okay, that's the second strike. That's the second strike. Then comes the third strike. Then comes, they were traveling and they were very hungry and very thirsty. And they have been traveling for a long time. They ran out of water and food. No water, no food. So they went into a town, and this town or village, the people in this village were so mean and nasty, all of them. So now they arrived and they were asking for someone to host them and give them food and drink. So they knocked on the first door. "Please, we're travelers. We need some food and drink. Get out of here." Next one. "We're travelers. We need food and drink. Just get out of here. We're travelers. We need food and drink. Get out of here." They could not, none of the people over there gave them any kind of help. So they went to rest under a tree. And then suddenly, the righteous slave stood up. He went to a ruined home. I mean, just imagine a home that has been ruined, completely ruined. Has barely like walls standing, but everything else is gone. Is ruined, totally ruined. Then he picked a wall and he fixed that wall so that it doesn't fall down. One wall was about to fall down. So he fixed the wall and made it strong. And then he left. So Prophet Musa said, "What? Why did he say this guy out of the bloom, you know, just like going to this wall, fixing it?" He said, he told him, he didn't ask him why. He said, "Shouldn't you at least ask those guys for food and drink for us in exchange of fixing the wall?" He told him, "Third strike." He said, three strikes, you're done. And let me tell you, before you go, let me tell you what happens, what's happening there. He said, for the boat that I ruined, there was a mighty wicked king. This king wants to go to war. So the king will, and his soldiers will travel on the coastline and take away any ship. They take away any ship to go to war. They just take away the ship from the people. If the people say, no, leave our ship, they kill them. So they take away the ships, okay? And if you say no, they kill them. All right? So he said, I wanted the king not to take their boat. How? So I ruined the boat. So basically the king passing by the boat, oh, that's a ruined boat. Forget about it. And then he went forward and he started collecting more boats. So he said, I've done them a favor. By, go ahead.
Wait, but what's the point? I mean, even if the king took the boat, it wouldn't have mattered because the boat was broken, so...
No. If they didn't break it, then the king would have taken their boat.
He ruined it, like in the places that are easy to fix.
Yes.
So
yes. And fixing it would be way much better than losing it. Anyway, losing it, okay? So he said that the king that will come, okay? Now, the second story is about the boy. He said, this boy, his parents were very righteous parents. Very kind and very righteous. And this boy, when he grows up, is going to turn into a criminal, a bad, bad criminal. He's going to torture his parents, humiliate them, give them a hard time, beat them up, do every awful thing. So he's really, really going to grow up to be a bad, wicked criminal. So I killed him so that Allah may, I killed him so that Allah may replace them with a better, nice, righteous, kind boy instead of this ugly boy. So that's the second. We're going to comment on them when we come. The third, he said, they were nice couple, a nice husband, righteous husband and wife, and they were dying. So before they died, they took all the treasure that they owned, they used to own the treasure, they put it in a box and they put it under the wall that I fixed. So, and then they died. So the boys are orphans. The boys were orphans because the parents died. If the boys will get the treasure when they are young, the people of the town will what? Take it away from them. That's right. If the wall falls down, then the people falls down, then the people are going to take the treasure because it's right under the wall. They put it under the wall. So Allah sent me to fix the wall so that they will have time to grow up and become men, mature and strong, and they get their treasure and they can use it. And I've done that because their parents were righteous parents. Okay, so that's a gift from Allah to righteous people, to righteous parents. Okay, now, let's talk now about the mercy in this. And before we talk about the mercy, there is an issue here that comes. When the righteous guy talked about the boat, he said, I wanted to ruin the boat so that the bad king, the wicked king, cannot take it. Or will not take it. Won't take it. So he said, I ruined the boat. I wanted to ruin the boat. And then the second time, he said, we wanted to kill the boy so that Allah would replace him with a nicer, kind boy that is going to take care of his parents when they are old and be nice to them. That's number two. Number three, when it comes to the wall, he said, Allah wanted. Allah wanted me to fix the wall so that the two orphans will grow up and pick up the treasure. So he said, I want for the boat. We want for the boy. allowance for the wall. What's going on there? This slave was given special knowledge. What is that knowledge? The knowledge where the divine knowledge. Allah assigned the task for this guy, which what task is to bring Allah's mercy to people. Okay? You know, Allah can get things done in so many ways, right? Okay? But he chose that slave for a wisdom that he has. He chose that slave to bring down his mercy. Okay? In giving verbal mercy, is it the business of Allah or the business of human being? It's a business of Allah. So in order to do it right, you need the knowledge of Allah, right? So he was given divine knowledge. So Musa was given Islamic knowledge. Thank you. Musa was given a divine knowledge. I'm sorry. Musa was given the knowledge of Islam. How to pray, how don't cheat, don't do this and do that, you know, do's and don'ts. Prophet Musa was given the knowledge of Islam. Okay? You're losing tickets. So Prophet Musa given the knowledge of Islam. Okay? But this righteous guy was given divine knowledge. To do Allah's business, you need special knowledge, which is called divine knowledge. What is that divine knowledge? Knowing the future. What would happen if this didn't happen? And what could have happened if this could have happened, if this wasn't happened? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He knows all possibilities. He knows all combinations. If you do this, then you get that. If you do that, then you get this. And this will bring you to that. And that will give you this. And if you didn't do that, you would have done that. You would have been this and that, you know? That's the knowledge of who? Allah. That's the knowledge of Allah. So Allah gives him this knowledge. So Allah told him that the king is going to come and steal all these boats. You see what I'm saying? So Allah gave him that knowledge. Based on this knowledge, he decided to ruin the boat. Now, the second case, we're killing the boy. He said the boy was very wicked and ugly. He's going to grow up to be a wicked criminal. So to comfort his parents, we wanted to replace Allah, to replace his parents, with another boy who's kind and nice. So I killed the boy for this reason. Now, who could know that the boy is going to grow up to be a bad criminal?
Allah.
And he gave him this knowledge. Now, about fixing the wall, he said, because the treasure for the two boys, okay? So, why did he say for the boat, for the boy, for the wall, Allah. Allah gives this guy a job, which is bringing down his mercy. So Allah gives him this job in this area at this time. Allah gives him this job for specific area at specific time, right? So that's so-called jurisdiction. So his area of jurisdiction is like this particular area from this year to that year. Okay? So the decision to ruin the boat, it fell into his time and his area. So it would happen where at his time where he was in charge, and at this area, the area where he was in charge. So it was enough for him to make the decision. It was enough for him to make the decision. Why? Because it's just going to be at the time within the time he was in charge, within the area he was in charge. Okay? So it takes how many people to make the decision?
One.
The second time, he said, we made the decision. We wanted. So he said, we, why? Because the boy will become bad. Okay, the boy will become bad later on, outside of his jurisdiction. So he's in a charge from, let's say, year 50 to year 60. Okay? But the boy will become bad after the year 60, after he is not in a charge anymore. Okay? So he needed to consult with the guy who's going to do the same job after him. The guy who was, okay, going to do the job after him. And he wanted also to consult with the angels, with the angel, to see what is written to those parents. So basically, the angel told him that these parents can't have more than one boy. So the angel told him those parents can't have more than one boy. Whether good or bad, it's only one. And then the righteous, the guy who's going to take over his job after his job, after his time ends, the guy who's going to come after that, okay, he reported that this guy is going to be a bad criminal, and there is no way he's going to be good. For sure, 100%, no doubt, is going to be a bad guy. Bad, wicked criminal who's going to show hell to his parents. So, okay, so now the righteous believer, the angel said they can have only one boy. The other righteous slave who was going to come after him said to him that this boy is going to be a bad criminal.
He's talking about himself because he already knows what's going to happen to the boat. He could do that. But for the second one, he wanted because he had to consult other people. In this case, the angels and the guy who take his job after him when his time comes. So it's we wanted because the angels, the guy who come after him, and himself wanted.
Yeah. I can imagine him asking the angel, the angel that has the, you know, the divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Divisions of shares of life. You know shares of life, right? They are divided among us. Everyone got a share. The angel, there's an angel in charge of this share. So you get this much share of happiness. You get this much share of pain. You get this much share of money. You get this much share of blah, blah, blah. You know? You get that much share here and there. So that angel...
Is that share equal for everyone? Or is
no, they're not equal. People get different shares. People are born hungry and starving in somewhere of a poor place, maybe in Africa or something. And people are born as prince and king. Princes and kings and, you know. So, like Prince Charles, he was born with all money and fame that you and me would work hard to get it. And then when we will not get it, and there is a very poor person starving to death somewhere else.
But maybe like the royalty isn't happy, or maybe they don't have one share. So maybe the hungry person is still happy, even if they're hungry, because they have like a good family and good friends.
That's true. That's true. And that is a plus. But still, people don't have the same shares. Okay, always people don't have the same shares. And everybody says, looks to the shares of the other person and say, this person has better than me, has better shares than mine. Okay? And then they envy that person, say, oh, he has better shares than my shares, and then they envy them, and that becomes a sin. But anyway, the angel who divides who has the division of share said that they can have only one boy. One boy. So he consulted with him, he said only one boy. He consulted with the righteous slave that will come after him, he said, no. No, there is no way this guy is going to be good. I know it's going to be bad. So they all together made the decision to kill the boy. Now, when it comes to the wall, he did not make the decision. Allah made the decision and told him to fix the wall. He didn't do the decision. He didn't make the decision. And he didn't know about the wall. Allah told him, go fix this wall. Now, Why? How is this related to sour mercy and sweet mercy? All three cases are mercy. You agree or disagree?
Agree.
It's all mercy. Okay? Even killing the boy is mercy. Ruining the boat is mercy. Fixing the wall was mercy. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to continue.
Exactly. But let's see. About ruining the boat, is that a sour mercy or a sweet mercy?
Sour.
Sour. Why?
Because it's causing
damages.
Temporary harm.
Causing harm. Temporary harm. Causing damage. Okay? So that is sour mercy. How about killing the boy? Is it sweet mercy or sour mercy?
Sour.
Sour mercy. Because his parents are going to cry and cry and cry. And they would be so devastated. But at the end, Allah replaced them with another boy. They would never know that this decision was good for them. That
until the day of judgment.
They would never know that.
So just to add on to his point, how do you think the parents felt when they saw that their boy was murdered? Devastated, right? Probably in despair. Yeah. Notice it's been for the first time in 10 minutes. And so the parents must have been distraught and, of course, like, in mourning because it was their little boy. But we kind of look back to our own lives where we get something that we need to want to do. We're really devastated about it. And it's kind of hard to look at that perspective of it might be for the greater good. This might have happened, that might have happened. If this did not happen, especially when, unlike the boat, for the boats, they were able to look around them and be like, well, if this wasn't damaged, then nobody else, then they would have taken our boat. They got immediate reasoning on why their boat was destroyed, but their parents will never know. And we will, if this ever happens to us, not in exactly the same scenario, but in something really terrible happens to us, we'll never know either.
Sometimes we get to know, for example, you missed the airline flight, you missed the flight, and then the plane falls down.
It falls down.
Yeah, falls down. Or you miss a trip, and you find that the there was a fatal accident involving many cars in the road. Then you, later on, you know, you say, Alhamdulillah, I missed the trip. Alhamdulillah. Before you say, shoot, I missed that trip. Ah, that's so frustrating. But then when the news comes that the plane fell down, you say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you're so generous. You saved me. You know? These kind of things. Now, about fixing the wall. Is it sour mercy or sweet mercy?
Sweet.
Why?
Because it didn't cause any harm to anyone?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not only that, the boys didn't even get to know. The boys didn't get to know at all that someone is fixing the wall. The boys are living in their own world. They don't have to worry about anything. They just have to grow up. And they have no idea that Allah sent someone to fix the wall, so that when they grow up, they can pick up their treasure. Go ahead. Oh yeah, left and right. Just the example I just mentioned, missing the flight, you're so mad, and then later on you find out that it was mercy from Allah. And so it happens to everybody. But wait, so when the righteous slave had to make the decision, it's sour mercy. When the righteous slaves and others have to make the decision, it's sour mercy. But when Allah makes the decision, it is sweet mercy. See the sweetness of that? It's a sweet mercy from Allah. Why? Allah takes care. This has to do with the name of Allah, Latif. Al-Latif means someone who is taking care of your business without you knowing it, without you feeling it. So that those boys, Allah took care of the wall, and they didn't even have any idea. And until the day of judgment, they would not know at all. They would have absolutely no idea that this has happened and it was good for them. Okay? You got it? Okay. Now, about Can you give me an example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you might love something and it's bad for you. And you might hate something and it's good for you. And Allah knows and you don't know. And also Allah says, humans pray for the bad thing. For humans pray and ask me for the bad things. I'm sorry, for bad things. For things that are bad for them. Like, Ya Allah, please don't let me miss the flight. So they are asking for something which is bad for them. Go ahead.
Like when I pray and I really want to like let's say I want to go to India to attend one of my relative's marriage, I just say, oh Allah, let me go to India if it's for my benefit. Is that okay? Like if you say for my benefit?
Yeah, I said if it's good for me. So, you know, you always pray, Ya Allah, make it happen if it's good for me. Are you aware of something called Salat al-Istikhara?
Yeah.
You know what Salat al-Istikhara is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who knows? You guys, girls, know about Salat al-Istikhara? Down back there? Huh?
I'm not sure if I'm getting confused with something else, but I think it was a prayer you can do, and then like later on when you're like you should do it before you sleep, and then later on in your sleep you get a dream or some type of form that tells you what you should do and what you shouldn't.
I'm going to answer this question. Go ahead.
It's like when you're torn between two choices and you're not sure what to do, you play Salat al-Istikhara for like an answer.
Exactly. So that's you're right, and you're right. Is that when there's something that you don't know is good or bad for you, you pray istikhara and ask Allah to select. And ask Allah to select for you. Okay? Now, she mentioned that you see a dream. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So would happen that if you don't see a dream, but Allah will make arrangements. Allah will make the arrangements. Allah will select the best for you. Okay? Allah will select the best for you. Without you having to worry. So let's say, I say, Ya Allah, let me find my book, if it's good for me. Ya Allah, let me go to this college, if it is good for me. Ya Allah, give me this car, I want to buy this car, if it's good for me. Now, the dua of istikhara, the actual dua is that, I'm going to actually publish it online so that, because I don't want to take the time of the class to write the dua, which is called dua al-istikhara. You pray two rak'ahs, and in the second rak'ah, after you get up from ruku', رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي مِلْءُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَمِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْءُ مَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمِلْءُ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدٍ And then, اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم سبحانك فإنك أنت تعلم ولا نعلم وتقدر ولا نقدر إنك أنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت ترى في أي هذا الأمر خير لنا في ديننا ومعاشنا وعاقبة أمرنا فاقترها لنا ويسرها لنا ثم بارك لنا فيها وإن كنت ترى في أي منها شر لنا في ديننا ومعاشنا وعاقبة أمرنا فاصرفها عنها واقدر لنا الخير حيث شئت ثم ردنا به which means that يا الله if you see that this is good for us, okay, make it happen. Make it happen. If you see that this is bad for us, push it away from us and replace us with something which is better. Take it away, replace us with something which is better, okay, and make us happy with it. So it's not only replace you with a better choice, but also make you happy and pleased, because sometimes you're mad. Sometimes Allah gives you a better choice, but you don't know it's the best for you and you get mad. I'll give you an example of a story that happened when I was young, not really young, when I was in the 20s. There was a guy working at the company that I know, and this guy got laid off. Got laid off. And he was the only working person. And he cried, and he was so sad. He and his wife were very devastated. We lost the job, we lost the income. How can we eat? How can we live? And all of these things. So at the end, he collected money, borrowed some money, and got some money from here and there. And he bought a gas station. He started making a lot of money. So he bought another gas station. He even made more money. So at the end, he became a millionaire. So now you remind him, he says, huh, you didn't want to lose that job, huh? You're mad that you got laid off. He says, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, I got laid off. Allah replaced me with much better, with much better things. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, I was laid off. So this kind of faith and belief in Allah will not make you grieve, will not give you so much, so sad that you're going to kill yourself out of sadness or out of grief.
People do that. They do that.
Yes, people do that. And so I'll give you another example. Oh, by the way, people, there is a hadith somewhere, either a hadith or a good saying, I need to verify that, that says that if people see the future, if people get to know the future, they would be very happy with what they have. Just like the fishermen, if they get to know the future, they would have ruined the boat themselves. If they get to know the future, okay? So, if you get to know the future, know that this is better than you, better for you. Another example of this is the example when you pay a charity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the charity will never decrease the wealth. The charity will never decrease the wealth. So someone says, what? Never decrease the wealth? If I have $100,000 and I donated 200, then I have 800 left. I calculated. Look here. 100 minus 200. I'm sorry, 1,000 minus 200 is equal to what? 800. So how could you say that the charity does not decrease the wealth? Yes. Exactly. I can't say it better than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pay you back in a ways you'd never expect. I'll give you an example. You pay a charity and the other guy doesn't pay charity. Keeps the 1,000. This guy might get a ticket, traffic ticket. Cost him $200. This guy doesn't, Allah saved him from the ticket. If he wouldn't pay the 200, he will end up like this guy has a ticket for like 300. So he end up having 700, which is less.
And he also got like good deeds.
And he got hasanat. But this guy didn't get hasanat. There was a guy at the time of the children of Israel. You know, the children of Israel, they always had a prophet. Allah always made sure that there is a prophet. So one prophet dies, Allah will raise another prophet. Okay? Continuously until Prophet Isa, the last prophet for the children of Israel, which Prophet Isa. So Allah, the guy said, the bad guy said, Ya Allah, I disobey you so many times. I've disobeyed you so many times and you never punished me. So Allah sent a message to the Prophet at that time. Go tell my slave, I've punished you so many times, but you have no idea. But you have no idea. Why? Because think about it. The guy who pays a charity, there is something called lucky and unlucky. Okay? Lucky and unlucky. So what is lucky and unlucky? If you pay $200 in charity, then Allah will make you lucky. How? You go out in the morning, you start your car, it starts well. And you drive the trip, it drives well. Now, if you don't pay the charity, you wake up in the morning, you try to start the car, what happened? The car doesn't want to start. So you call the AAA. AAA comes and tows the car. Okay, then you go to the mechanic's shop. And then you go there, and then you ask the guy, what's wrong? He says, okay, the transmission need to be changed. How much? $5,000.
Oh.
Yeah, transmissions are usually in this range. $4,000, $5,000. Okay? $5,000. Okay. Now, you rent a car. And when you rent a car, the waiting line is so long and you are at the end. You have to wait so much to get to the counter. And then when you rent a car, you get to the counter, you want to rent a car, there are no cars left. Then you wait for another car to arrive. When the car arrives, and then you take this car and you drive, you're hitting every red light. Red light, red light, red light, red light. Okay? And suddenly you discover that you have a cancer.
That's like really sad. This guy is a sad life.
Now imagine you bid the charity, you wake up in the morning, you turn on the car starts. You drive into the street, everything, you know, is nice and no traffic, no jams, nothing. You're hitting every green light and you're doing well. And then you go to your work happy and fresh. Okay? Who made it that way? Allah. Made it that way.
So just because you don't pay charity, you can get cancer?
No. I'm not saying that. Hold on. I'm not saying that. I'm just dreaming up a scenario. Imagining a scenario.
And a happiness.
You see what I'm saying? I'm just, don't pick on these things. I'm just imagining a scenario. I'm not saying that if you don't pay charity, every time you start your car in the morning, it won't start. I'm just giving you examples.
Like, if you don't, you know, do something good, then like there's a chance that you could get cancer.
No. It's examples of how you're being
just example.
You don't know it. Like, yeah. Why would you think that because you did something bad you get cancer? Or it could be something else depending on person.
Yes.
So
very good
possible.
People very good people can get cancer. Prophet Muhammad used to get sick. You know? That's not, I'm just trying to give you just imagine examples. You know, imagine some examples to give to you. Okay, and by the way, you were supposed to get a $300 ticket, you didn't get it. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said something else which is strange, like this hadith, the charity does not decrease the wealth. Guess what that strange thing is? He said, you want to treat your patients, if you have a sick person and you want this person to have a recovery, pay charity. Pay charity, let this person pay a charity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, treat your patients you by paying charity. Of course, you go to the doctor, you take the medication and everything, but paying a charity, Allah will guide the doctor to do the correct diagnosis and prescribe the correct medication. And prescribe the correct medication. Okay? So Allah will grant tawfiq.
Allah will also only punish you in ways that you do not know. If you did something bad, if you did something you weren't supposed to do, or you didn't do something you were supposed to do. However, if the charity we're talking about is optional, then it's meaning that if you do it, you'll get hasanat, but if you don't do it, there's a punishment.
And these punishment might be clear. Okay, there was an incident where there was a guy driving a car. And the guy was going to get in a car accident. And at the very last minute, that person turned the steering wheel and avoided the accident. Guess what this person did? He said, Alhamdulillah. So, that person, Allah made that person see with his own or her own eyes that Allah saved him. Allah saved him. Okay? Another case, when that person gets a heart attack and he's about to die and Allah saves him, then he says, Alhamdulillah. Okay? So, sometimes you can see it. Sometimes you can see it. It's clear. Okay? And sometimes you don't see it. Like there was with this guy, his wife got pregnant. So Allah made him get a bonus from work for $2,000 because that's basically the share of the baby. the share of the baby is given to the father. Okay? So his wife got miscarriage and she went to the hospital. So she paid the $2,000 for the miscarriage surgery. So the $2,000 came with the baby and the $2,000 went away with the baby. You understand? So sometimes it's so obvious like that. Sometimes it's so obvious. Like in the last minute you avoid the accident, or in the last minute you Allah will save you from a bad thing. Sometimes it's clear and sometimes it's not clear. Like these parents and their boy, they had no idea and they will never know until the day of judgment that it was good for them. And so is you. You will never know until the day of judgment that what happened is the best.
Can you guys, because we're wrapping up class here, you guys have any examples of what we're talking about of your own life?
Yep. Person in the corner, by the
What's your name, first of all? My name
is Sugawa.
Louder.
Sugawa.
Hey.
I'm walking home from school with my sister one day, and these people across the street, they were like making fun of us, like yelling at us, and there's a group of guys. So we decided to take the long way home because they're heading some the straight way we were, and that we didn't want them to know where we lived. So we ran around and we heard this loud noise. We were like, oh, it's probably someone dropped something or something. And we come back to the street that we were going on before, and it was a car accident. And if we were to walk on that same street, and if we weren't to like go away because those boys were bothering us, we would have ended up in the middle of a car accident.
MashaAllah. That's
awesome. Huh?
Go ahead.
When I went for Umrah, we usually know the way around the hotel because the hotel was really big and there were a lot of people. So for some reason, we took the wrong gate from Masjid Nabawi because we were staying right there. So we were in this elevator and then this lady came up to us and she was like, my son has like a really bad fever and none of the doctors here understand what I'm saying because I don't know like Arab language. And would you happen to have any like Tylenol or something? So then we like took, and then all of a sudden we just remembered the way to our room. So then we just like took her, and then she just got the medicine. And then like I was just thinking like, oh, I think this was like maybe she prayed to Allah and that happened for her, that we messed up and then she was able to
found her.
Exactly. I was traveling. I was coming back from Hajj, and then I brought for with me 4 gallons of my Zamzam water. And when I arrived to the airport, okay, I wrapped, the airlines require us to wrap the water containers so that it doesn't spill. So I wrapped all 4 and I paid like good money for each, like 50 riyal or like let's say $50 for each. So that's $200. Then when I went to check in, they said, no, you can have only 2. Okay. So I looked around and I saw a guy. So I said, do you want Zamzam water? He said, yes. So I told him, here. The guy was, Subhanallah. I was sad I didn't get any Zamzam water. Allah gave him, Allah made me fill up the gallons, carry them to the airport, wrap them for him, and then give him. That's in the last minute. Give him the guy. See, Allah makes, you might think these things are coincidence. No, no, nothing is coincidence, it's all by Allah. I'm going to close with one sentence. If you think that someone can come up with a better scenario than what happened, then you don't believe that Allah is the most wise. Got it? So, if something has happened already, if you believe that this thing that has happened already, someone can come up with a better or a more wise scenario than what happened, then you don't believe in Allah, the most wise.
Wait, I don't really get what that means.
Okay, something happened in the past. Whatever scenario happened in the past. If you think that someone can come up with a better scenario than what happened, then you don't believe in Allah as the most wise. Because the choices of Allah are always the wise choices. However, the choices made by Allah, there are losers and winners. Okay? So these choices will make people losers and winners. So you pray for Allah to be among the what?
Winners.
not to be among the losers.
So if you're like, oh, if only I hadn't done this, if only I had studied this more, if only I realized that this would happen, if only I picked up my book when this would happen, except for all these results, if only if you're in the school and you don't have a